Meet Sven. He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 2009 and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And apparently the Ante Up Nation has spoken and you won in a landslide about 6 million to 3. On the polls on the forum about non-poker stories versus poker stories. But here's my gripe before you get that smug look on your face.
You have just one gripe.
And, I just have one gripe.
And it's too late. The smug book was already there.
Yeah, I know. But here's the one gripe is that all I was saying was that we should we have poker stories that are funny or non-poker stories? And which, you know, should we vote on a moratorium on ending non-poker stories? Because you could, like, wake up, walk outside, trip over the curb, fall into a garbage truck, and be in some, you know, landfill in Sarasota, and it's a funny story, but it's not poker, and they're tuning in for poker. So that, but when they put it on the forum, they put it Chris's poker stories or Scott's non-poker stories, and of course,
it's
you
all
know,
the telling.
You're the big suck up. They all love you more than they love me. You know, they're calling me douchebag, and you know. So all I'm saying is that that's my gripe was that they didn't set up the poll correctly. Now, go ahead. Get your smug look on your face and hit me with it.
No, here, I'm a conciliatory host, and I want to, you know, feed the Chris Cosenza ego. So I'm going to tell today, instead of a traditional Scott Long, hilarious off-the-charts non-poker story, I'm going to tell a Chris Cosenza bad beat story that's poker-related.
Yes!
It happened to me. All right.
Yes.
Will that make you happy?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, I was at the Tampa Bay Downs last night, and I was at a tournament, and of course I get pocket aces, and of course, you know, I limp, because that's how I play, and the flop comes king, 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 and I'm like, bingo, bongo, bango. And no, wait a minute, the flop was, no, that's right, yeah, the flop was king, king, king. And so it's checked around, you know, because I'm kind of trapping, right? And then the turn, a guy bet out, and I called. And then on the river, he bet out again, and I moved all in. And then he moved all in, and oh, my God, he had the king! Unbelievable! Unreal!
Oh, my God! It's only 2 minutes into the show, and we already have an unbelievable... Oh, my God! Didn't take long for Cosenza to do it. Unbelievable this quick in the show.
So, you know, we've known each other long enough that we can do that face-off with the, you know, hey, the Nick Cage, John Travolta kind of crap.
I'm John Travolta. What's going on here?
No, imitation is a serious form of flattery.
That's true.
Again, you... played a hand poorly, limping with that, because it's now... I'm just going to call you Trapper Long MD from now on.
I like that.
Because you're trying to trap all these people, and you're getting screwed. And now if you had raised with it, that king would not have been in the hand.
And so you asked me last night what his kicker was, and I didn't, in the flurry of my anger, you know, and smashing all the windows at Tampa Bay Downs, and, you know, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't realize, but I went back, and it was king-queen, because people were talking about this hand in the room the rest of the night.
So he probably would have called.
Hey, are you the dude that lost the quads?
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, well, kid.
I guess the best thing is that it was only a $20 tournament.
Yeah.
And no matter what happened, you would have lost all your chips. So
it's true.
There you go.
I was just able to go home and work a little sooner.
And because you smash all those mirrors and windows, there goes our profit for this month. Profit? What's that?
Oh, well, speaking of working, we're always trying to do whatever we can to promote the Anti-Up brand, right?
Yep.
And I'm a Facebook believer. I know. I was dragged kicking and screaming into Facebook about a year and a half ago, and now I can't imagine life without it. And but one of the things, as cool as it is, there's some annoying things, and there's this thing going on now where pick your top five.
Yeah.
What are your five favorite cars? What are your five favorite sports teams? And, you know, for the most part, I've ignored these, though there's some people that just, you know, any of them they'll fill out. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I wonder if I can do my own.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you went into the little application, I figured I could. So I did my five favorite poker magazines. Number one, Anti-Up.
Excellent.
Of course.
Excellent.
Know, it's our magazine, right?
Absolutely.
Number two is a little publication that you may have heard of called Anti-Up. Number three, great. I read this just for the holdout column.
Uh-huh.
Anti-Up. Four, also is a great whiny guy whining about TV and how it sucks.
Yeah.
Anti-Up.
Anti-Up, yeah.
Yep. And then fifth is a magazine published by these idiots that talk about non-poker stories on a PokerCast every week. Anti-Up! So that's my top five. Anti-Up.
You know what? There is no fat on that list, man. That is all white meat right there.
It was tough, and there was a couple of folks that didn't make it. Anti-Up, and Anti-Up.
They were all runners-up?
Yes, exactly.
So your top 10 would have been all Anti-Up.
But you know, hey, I like taking over the system.
Did anybody else do their lists?
No, but the next day I did I'm like, you know, fine. I did the poker magazine. I'm going to create my own poker podcast top five.
Right.
And I wasn't as grandizing with this one. Anti-Up was number one, of course. But I gave some love to our friends at the Poker Soup, made them number four. And then our good friend Gambit picked up on this one and did it the next day. And he put Annie up first, of course.
Thank you, Gambit.
And he put Poker Soup fifth.
Yes! That's right.
Behind a Lost podcast, of all things.
Yeah, I got an email from the Poker Soup people saying, when can we get you on our show, the best podcast out there? And I said, when you stop becoming a wanker, so I guess never.
Wow, you're throwing around English words.
So I'm on Twitter now. William Hopper is my name, at William Hopper. So I'm on Twitter just because, I don't know, somehow I saw a comment about me, so I thought I'd get on there and get back at him. But actually what I'd done was there was a funny Jimmy Fallon show on the other night, and he won a Webby Award or something. And they're like, hey, send us, we can only do a 5-word speech for the Webbies, so uh-huh. For the congratulatory, you know, thank you speech kind of thing. And so send us your 5 words. So from Twitter, I was like, without Tina, I'd be homeless, was my 5 words. I don't know if it made the show or not, but I sent it into him. So
very nice.
That's
very
why
nice.
I'm on Twitter. But do you really do like this Facebook thing?
No, it's a good way to connect. And, you know, it
helps out in poker, too.
It has a little Anti-Up Magazine fan page, so I update that every day. You know, it's just a way of keeping in touch with, a couple hundred people in 20 minutes every morning.
Well, another way to keep in touch is to have people write us letters, seems to happen a lot now. We have so many that we have to push some out of the mailbag and into the banter. Our good friend Brian Cole, who we have a lot of email and communication, he wanted to know about Deuce to Seven. And what he wants
My
to know is,
game.
He says, how come I can play Raz and I can also play Badoogie, but I can't play Deuce 7 Triple Draw worth a darn?
Brian, I am with you, man.
Yeah, you know, it beats the hell out of me, pal. I have no idea because I can't play either of the other games either. But
Badoogie I like, but Deuce 7, that's where in the home game, I might as well just pick up my chip stack and just divide it up among everybody at the table.
That's really weird, though. I mean, I would prefer Deuce 7 over Badoogie because Badoogie is way harder. Way harder. It has to be a very specific card to make your hand in Badoogie, but in Deuce to Seven,
there's
a lot more flexibility. A lot more flexibility in Deuce to Seven's got.
I think the problem with Badoogie is that there are five cards. That extra card adds something.
No, Badoogie. You said the problem with Badoogie. You mean the problem with Deuce 7.
Yeah, the problem with Deuce 7. Is what
see, now you don't even know how to play the game.
And you were going to fix that in post-production, but no, you had to make fun of me.
No, I'm not going to fix it.
But no, in Deuce 7, you get five cards, and the extra card obviously adds something to it.
Uh-huh.
But then it's the degrees of the hands in Deuce 7. You know, you could have like a 9 in some hands that would take it down. But then you're betting raising, and next thing you know, somebody's got a a smooth eight or something. And it's just there's so much more variety and right on the edge, I think it is. Now, Badoogie, you want to hit that Badoogie, right? But sometimes that King Badoogie is all it takes, especially if somebody keeps drawing that one card and being frustrated. But even if you are the one drawing that one card, your three-card Badoogie might be good, too.
Yeah, but someone stays pat. They're not staying pat with a three-card.
Unless they're bluffing and a moron.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, of course, I just think that there's more room for... There's more room for bluffing and more room for making your hand induced to seven. But to be truthful, they both suck. I mean, I don't mean they suck. I mean, they're fun games to play and everything, but they're just so frustrating. Raz is the least frustrating of the three. I mean, absolutely. When we started playing Deuce of Seven for the first time, we always said that. We were like, well, we finally found a game more frustrating than Raz. And then when we played Badoogie, well, we finally found a game more frustrating than Deuce of Seven. So, I don't know. I don't know why you can play. If you can play Badoogie and be comfortable with it, you should be able to play Deuce of Seven. I mean, it's not like we're going to be able to read into this guy's mind and say, hey, Brian, this is why you're playing it that way. It's just our own feeling. But I feel like it's just a coincidence right now that he's not doing well in Deuce of Seven because it's the same game as Badoogie, really, just a little more variance, you know?
Well, yeah, and everybody will get the chance to play Deuce to Seven in our eight-game mixed Apes event, which is coming up in another month.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be doing our power tips for the eight-game, which will probably be heavily influenced by Deuce to Seven in a couple weeks. So,
yeah.
So maybe that'll help you, Brian.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned.
We also got a great call this week that didn't make the hotline, too, because we got so many
hotline clips. So.
But it comes from Brandon from Minneapolis. So
now, I think he's from Indianapolis.
See, I thought he said Indianapolis the first time, and then I thought he said Minneapolis the second time.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where he's from. He's in Annapolis. He could be at Annapolis. He could be in the Naval Academy. We don't even know. But
he's from some Annapolis.
Let's listen.
Hi, Scott and Chris. This is Brandon from Indianapolis, a.k.a. Chappy Joker. I was calling in reference to a letter last week about chopping the pot and people making them feel bad for not wanting to chop the pot. I read an article, Linda Johnson wrote an article about a card room she saw that they came up with an idea of anonymously deciding to chop a pot whether they wanted to or didn't want to, and I thought I would share it with you guys. This card room came up with an idea that when the idea of chopping the pot came up, they would hand out a black card and a red card to each member of the table, and the red card would symbolize that you would like to chop the pot, and the black card would symbolize that you wouldn't chop the pot. And that way it's anonymous and nobody knows how many did want to chop the pot and how many did not want to chop the pot. So there was really no one to target as far as who did or didn't want to chop the pot. So I thought that was an interesting idea and I just want to pass it along to you guys. You guys are doing a wonderful job and love the podcast and the magazine.
All right, I'm going to say here, all right, this is just stupid. All right, can I say that? And not be called a racist or a sexist or a Nazi or anything.
Or anti-Semite, yeah.
Here's the thing. I am all for people trying to be nice and making it easy on the players. I mean, I'm not going to dispute that at all. But sometimes you just got to, and I don't mean to offend any of our women out there, you just got to man up, right? And if you're not going to be willing to stand up and say, no, I don't want to chop, and here's why, or maybe I don't even tell you why, I just don't want to chop. Then, this whole secret ballot stuff, I hate that. I hate it in high school. I don't want Jody to know I didn't vote for her for homecoming queen. Oh, come on.
Look for the poof of white smoke, and then there will be a chop. If it's dark smoke, we're playing on. Now, what I don't understand, I guess this meant if there was whatever a black card, whatever the card was. If there was a card against chopping any card, there was no chop, or was it a majority? Couldn't have done that, right? Yeah, because if there was a majority, that's not fair. If someone doesn't want to chop, they don't want to chop. Yeah. So it had to be all red or all black. Well, no, not all black, I guess. But it had to be all for the chop,
right?
For it to hey, we're wearing red and black today.
Yeah, we are.
You have a red Annie up shirt on, I have a black Annie up shirt on. I want to chop, you don't.
That's right. so I don't know. Am I wrong in just saying, obviously, chopping is an important part for some people, but,
Yeah, no. If someone doesn't want to show up, just to say it, man. What, are they going to get rolled in the parking lot? You're going to get your ass beat?
I mean, I don't think so. They're going to have some kind of, like, you know, BlackBerry text, you know, 1478 if you want
to
chop.
Text 1478 to Linda.
Come on. It's already confusing enough.
Regular charges apply. All right, well, we got a funny joke that we want to share with the NEF Nation, and it came to us.
We can't say it's funny.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it is, too, but some people out there may not think it's funny. So.
Some people may think it's offensive. Some people may say, why does it always have to be that way? You know, I don't know. But this joke came to us from our good doctor, Frank Toscano, columnist, home game reeler, regular. And
apparently email forwarder.
Yeah, email forwarder, I normally just spike it. But
exactly.
It said poker joke or something.
Out of respect for the doctor. Yeah. He went to medical school. I'm going to read his email.
He might have been telling me how to cure polio or something. You never know. So
absolutely.
He sent us this joke, and it's kind of long, but I'll read it as fast as I can. You want me to read it or you want to read it?
No,
I'll read it.
All right.
Two couples were playing poker one evening. Jim accidentally dropped some cards on the floor. When he bent down under the table to pick them up, he noticed Bob's wife, Kim, wasn't wearing any underwear under her dress.
And I'll interject here. I want to be invited to this poker game.
Skank. So, shocked by this, Jim, upon trying to sit back up again, hits his head on the table and emerged red-faced.
Ooh.
So later, Jim went to the kitchen for some refreshments. Bob's wife followed and asked, "Did you see anything you liked under there?" Surprised by her boldness, Jim admitted that, well, indeed, he did. She said, "Well, you can have it, but it'll cost you $500."
Wow.
Is that a good price? Is there a positive EV on this?
You know, lady of the night that violated me at the IP.
At the IP. What was she charging?
She did not. I didn't get to that stage.
And you didn't even get to inspect her goods. This guy's already seen what he's getting, right?
Sight unseen.
Clearly. Now, I don't know what the price is going for your friend's wife, but you'll have to tell me after the show, I guess. I don't know. So after taking a minute or two to assess the financial and moral costs of this offer, Jim confirms that he is indeed interested. Kim told him that since her husband Bob worked Friday afternoons and Jim didn't, Jim should be at her house around 2 p.m. Friday afternoon.
I like Lady that keeps a schedule.
Yep, she's penciling him in. Let's hope it's sharpened. So as usual, here's what happens. Friday rolls around, the guy shows up at Bob's house at 2 o'clock, and after paying Kim of the agreed sum of $500, they go into the bedroom, close their transaction as agreed. Jim quickly dresses and leaves. So Bob comes home from work later on, 6 o'clock that night, you know. And upon arriving, he sees his wife and says, "Hey, did Jim come by the house this afternoon?"
Uh-oh, busted.
Oh, man. So with a lump in her throat, Kim says, he did stop by for a few minutes this afternoon. Now her heart is just nearly skipping a beat and freaking out because her husband then says, "And did he give you $500?
Yes, busted.
Kim, using her best poker face, replied, in fact, he did give me $500. Bob, now with a satisfied look on his face, surprised his wife by saying, "Oh, he came by the office this morning and borrowed $500 from me. He promised he'd be stopped by the house this afternoon on his way home and pay me back." And the last line of the joke is, "Now that, my friends, is a poker player." So apparently that's Bob calling on the phone right now. Cause
he's like, wait a minute.
He's pissed off because he just found out his wife cheated on him.
I got rolled.
So anyway, pretty good joke. Frank, thanks for sending us that. And doesn't mean we want to get bombarded with poker jokes now or anything.
Be sure to post those jokes at nemmagazine.com/forum.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and try to keep them clean, too. Oh, man. But anyway, speaking of reminders, Apes is this Wednesday.
Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on PokerStars.com. It's event for Limit Hold'em.
Limit Hold'em, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Come out, win that banana and the monkey.
And if you want to know the password, which most of you know, but I'm not speaking Spanish or Portuguese, so you'll have to go to anyupmagazine.com/apes, A-I-P-S, to find out all the information on our tournament.
And one more quick reminder on the Great Antioch Poker Cruise, August 20th to 24th, Carnival Inspiration going out of Tampa. Tentatively right now to Cozumel. I'm sure he'll go there.
Yeah.
But we have a lot more good stuff coming from that over the course of the next week. So sign up for our e-newsletter on antiupmagazine.com/subscribe. Be the first to find out by that. But go ahead and book that cruise today for $359. Call Mary Cole, 727-733-3498. Or shoot her a wonderful email at mkolb, M-K-O-L-B, at gotravelorlando.com. com.
That price, lock it in. June 19th is the deadline. June 19th to lock in that price. So do it now and join us on the cruise. And some exciting stuff's coming up. So
yeah, we've been working our little.
It's ready. We just haven't announced it yet. Yeah. So some exciting stuff's coming. Let's now listen to Scott do the Antiup News Desk.
All right, U.S. Representative Barney Frank on Wednesday introduced the Internet Gambling Regulation Consumer Protection and Enforcement Act, which would establish a federal regulatory and enforcement framework for online gaming. Frank said he'd also introduce legislation to roll back implementation of the Bush administration online gaming regulations. Quote, the government should not interfere with people's liberties, unquote, Frank said. He is my hero.
I wish he was in Florida so I could vote for him. This man is awesome. He runs for president. He's got my vote already. He could even be with the Green Party, and I would vote for that guy.
Now, of course, we knew this was coming, but it's always nice when it actually gets there. And Harrah's is backing this with lobbying dollars, so it's not just in the shadow online, you know, how our opponents always characterize us.
Yeah.
It's the big boys getting on board there.
Sweet.
All right. And closer to home, Chris.
Yeah.
Wednesday proved to be a roller coaster day on gambling negotiations in the Florida legislature, but just hours after House negotiators stormed away from a meeting suggesting that no more talks were a possibility, they returned with an offer that was quickly accepted by Senate negotiators. If that agreement is approved by the full House and Senate on Friday, and then the Seminole Tribe later, almost all restrictions on poker in Florida will be lifted.
Woo-hoo!
This is great!
This is awesome! No limit poker. And it's just no limit poker. It's
no
not just
bet limits,
Texas Hold'em.
No buy-in limits,
you could have Gambit now is doing cartwheels because he's going to be able to buy into a pot limit Omaha game somewhere.
Absolutely.
So this is how it goes, man. Finally, Florida might be legit.
Big tournaments, you know, World Poker Tour could come here now.
Harrah's might get involved now. Maybe buy a casino down there or build one and bring the World Series here for
longer
their circuit
hours.
Events. Longer hours, more stories for us. Just everything is going well. We got in at the right time, I think.
It's beautiful, and we're just crossing our fingers that the full House and Senate actually agree to this.
Yeah,
today,
which we're hoping it will happen.
Yep.
But we're too legit to quit now. So,
and finally, Jamie Gold and Ace.com have parted ways. Just more months.
Jeez.
Well, I couldn't even get halfway through.
That's
before you
hilarious.
Parted ways just mere months into what was reportedly an eight-figure deal for the former World Series main event champ to represent the online poker site. This comes from GamblingOnline.com. Accordingly, Gold's camp said the rift was over unpaid expenses he and his team incurred. I believe it was some kind of Oscar party promotion.
Yeah, well, you know, when you win $12 million, you really need to get that $35 travel voucher.
$47 after all the lawsuits and stuff.
But. Yeah, somehow I don't believe that. But really, you got to hem and haul over like $15 for the, you know, the free buffet.
Yeah, maybe you can get his 2-for-1 coupon. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad, you know. But hey, it leaves space for us now on the team, right? One of us could be sponsored.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Hey, we're getting pretty famous.
No.
No, huh? Someday.
Yeah, I'm holding out for my red Team Poker Star Pro. It's going to happen soon.
All right, well, I think the hotline caller was getting a little anxious and called a little early on us, but we got him on hold. So here's the phone number, 813-448-1120, and if we use your clip, we will spin the swag wheel of justice and give you something cool. This time it comes from Ben from Chicago, and he wants to know basically about how you get a session in pretty quick when you're short on time.
Whenever I go to the casino, I always have to wait like 2 hours now for a game, and sometimes I don't even get to play because if you're going to the casino for 4 or 5 hours and you wait for 2 hours, it really doesn't leave enough time for a session. The other question is, because live poker now is so popular, what's a better way to increase your patience for online games so you don't bust out too quickly to, I guess, keep you occupied and focused like live poker does?
Well, Ben, I love this question because this always happens, particularly if you're traveling with a wife like I do sometimes, where you work, you know, all
get
these
that little window of opportunity.
Exactly. I've got a window now, and I got to get as much poker as I can.
Yep,
and
yep.
It's just not good for your anything, you know, because then you're pushing, you're playing bad hands and interrupting. So, you know, I guess I wish I had very good advice for you, but just enjoy it when you're playing, I guess.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, it depends on what you're willing to do, too. If you want to just play a lot of hands and be loose, then adapt that style because you only have so much time to play. And then as for what you said before, and the second part of it was about, you know, how do you develop patience after moving from online? It's weird because I started as a live player and then went to online.
Yeah.
So I still can sort of segue into that sort of, all right, just be patient and sit back and start conversations or whatever to kill the time. But I'm with him.
Or
read your magazine when you're in the room, you know. Really, I just get into this sort of mode where I try to study people.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know what I mean? Whereas online, you can't study people. So right. That's what I do at my off time is I look at people and I see how they're betting, how they're reacting, things like that. That's how I do
it. I definitely pay much more attention to the action and the pot and all that when I'm live because it takes so much longer to get a hand in. So definitely, I start calculating the pot, stuff that you should be doing anyhow, but you just don't have to do online.
Yeah.
So start thinking about that, you know, looking for tells and putting people on hands, even though you're on a hand.
Yep.
Sometimes it can be fun.
Yep. All right, well, since I introduced the clip, I'll spin the wheel.
Okay.
Here we go.
Congratulations, Ben. You got a lovely t-shirt from donkeygear.net. Send me your address. We'll get that out. And actually, pick your size. We have a couple flavors still left.
And I think one of them is Blaz's shirt. But I gave him a shirt from a different place. Feel good that you're getting Blaz's shirt. Just hope he didn't wear it first. All right. Well, we had a mailbag letter. Even though we had a letter earlier, we have another one. And I'm going to let you answer it, because I wasn't sure if we were saving this for, like, when we had Sam on the show again or whatever.
No,
but
here's how big of a donk I am. I was with Sam last night and Patrick at Tampa Bay Downs. Both of them, I was thinking, I got to ask him this question just to be sure I'm not wrong. And then, of course, I woke up this morning, I'm like,
forgot. All right, well, anyway.
I think we have a handle on this question.
All right, so you want to do it?
All right, here we go. It comes from Dave, who goes by Carbide X. It's an interesting question I think a lot of people have seen happen. They're in a hand with his friend. It's a pot limit Omaha. The action's over. His friend flips over his hand and says, I just have aces. So he had pocket aces
as part
of his two cards.
Right.
Ace, 5-4. The board read, Queen, 10, 7, deuce, deuce. Player B says, I have two pair and shows 10, 7, XX. Dave's buddy said, oh, you're good. And the pot shipped to the other player. Obviously, Dave's friend had the best hand.
Yeah,
he tabled the hand. The pot got pushed. Now, here's what gets interesting. After the next hand is dealt, his buddy speaks up, and the whole player agrees that the pot was pushed the wrong way, but the pot doesn't get corrected. And he wants to know whether that's what happens.
That's never happened to me, like, where...
Unreal!
Yeah, I mean, it's never happened to me where I've seen it happen. So I don't really know how to answer this. I've never actually seen it happen. I don't know if you have.
Well, in the situations that I've seen, once the cards are removed from the table and the hand is over, and to pardon the phrase from your favorite dealer at the World Series of Poker, you're SOL. So what's really unfortunate here is he tabled his hand, which is usually what happens in Omaha. You don't table your hand. And the dealer really screwed up big time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've seen this happen before, and really the dealer just gets very apologetic, but there's not anything they can really do other than, you know, hope the guy realizes that he should give you the pot and give it to you. But, you know, you got so many problems with that, too. You don't necessarily always know how much was in the pot, though in this case they did. And, I'm a nice guy, but I'm loath if the cards aren't on the table anymore to actually see the proof, even if 8 people were telling me it was wrong. So that's why you got to speak up when the cards are on the table.
So you're telling me that in our home game...
See, I knew I was going to set you up.
Well, no, I didn't. I'm shocked. I thought that you are a nice guy and you would, like, split the pot with a person or something. I didn't think that you would say tough luck. I didn't think you would say that, being the person you are.
Because
now, I mean, now the whole NDF Nation can jump on your friggin' back and bust your balls for being a wanker instead of me, because I would probably, remember that time we were playing in Gambit's game,
and you did something wrong, and I
offered to split the pot with
you,
and you threw it back to me, you're like, no, that's okay.
Yep.
I mean, I was trying to be nice, 'cause it's our home game. I realize you want to take your friend's last dollar, but you don't want to do it this way, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm shocked. There is a dark streak in you.
A little bit.
But it does sound fair to me. If you can't read your own hand, and even the dealer screwed up, you're still responsible for your hand. Omaha's a tough game to play. You got to really know what you're doing.
Well, the big thing is you got to speak up when the cards are on the table.
Yeah.
And I do that all the time. There's a lot of times the dealers are pushing the pots the wrong way. I'm like, whoa, 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 and I'm slapping my hand on my hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's your responsibility.
Like, wait a minute. Clearly, this guy didn't read the hand,
though. Yeah. He didn't read his own hand right. So
yeah.
You're responsible for your own hand, ultimately. And so, but really, to have a guy in the game like that who won't give you like a couple of bucks back or something because he did not have the best hand, that sucks. But, hey, you know. Well, you know what, though? I don't know. Apparently, it was his friend this happened to. It wasn't him. But a lot of guys like to not admit that they made a huge mistake,
yeah, yeah.
And so they say, my friend has this problem.
Okay.
So Dave, we're going to spin the wheel and try to help you feel better about it. And if you want, you can give our swag to your friend that you win after we spin the wheel. So here it goes.
All right, Dave, I believe it's actually you that sent this hand in. For your friend, unlike my partner here.
Well, trying to suck up now after you said you'd take the pot from him.
But so I'm going to suggest that you give this wonderful prize to your friend. It is a all-balls card protector from PokerFaces.tv, and let him know he's got to have the balls to stand up for his hand.
It should be no balls, yeah. And just tell him that, too.
I'm giving him balls.
That's what I'm saying.
Man.
Tell him that. Say, since you have no balls to speak up on your own hand, here you go. Here's an all-balls card protector.
This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. The Case of the Escaping Bullet. We are playing mixed games online, and it's the No Limit Hold'em round. We have six seated at the table. We're doing all right. Not great, but okay.
Not to get off the subject.
The first two players fold, and we are staring down at nine of spades, ten of spades. Suited connectors play strangely shorthanded, as the implied odds are always nebulous. I'm going to play this like any two cards and simply raise because I'm first to act to the pot. I make it 3x big blind, and the button and the small blind call.
You guys looking for something?
The flop comes 6 of hearts, 7 of diamonds, 9 of clubs. Top pair on a straight draw board. I'm going to see bet here. The pot is 10 big blinds, and I bet half the pot or 5 big bets. The button calls, but the small blind check raises to 16 bets. Now, it's 9 bets to win 36, and the button may come along making it 5-1 odds, but it's always dangerous to call with a player left to act. But it's certainly worth thinking about it. What do you want to do?
What would you do? Would you fold?
I believe I probably may.
Yeah, I think I would fold, too. Let's hear the conclusion.
Welcome back. Well, I decided to bite on the raise and call.
I don't give up that easily, sir.
I call the 16 bets. The button shoves his 150 bet stack into the pot. The small blind calls, and now I know that I am beat, wasting 16 bets in the process to find it out. 150 more is way too much on what must be a 4-outer. I fold and see top set versus an 8-high flopped straight. Based on my call here, the button would be making a huge mistake by not putting in the big re-raise with the straight. The turn and the river come 4 and 8, and we folded a gut shot to what turned out to be the nuts. But what a horrendous call it would have been. Nice raise by the button. Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com reminding you that if you got rich there, it wasn't because of a good decision.
Well played.
Doesn't it suck when you would have sucked out? When you would have rovered the straight? Unbelievable. But I think he made the right decision.
Yep.
One way or the other. I mean, you can't count on what ifs. You just have to count on what the information you have there and the time he was behind.
Remember, Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Okay, I've been waiting a long time to see the movie The Grand.
We have been waiting a long time.
We talked about it on the show probably back in 1968 for the first time when we heard it was coming out. And it just took forever to actually make it to theaters. An independent kind of movie. And, and in fact, I don't think it ever came to the Tampa Bay area. I could be wrong if it did. But eventually it made it to DVD and then Showtime, where I saw it.
Now, I saw it on Showtime as well because my parents had
Okay, so maybe it's not even on DVD. Recorded.
Yeah, no, but here's what happened. I go down to like the movie stop where you could buy the used DVDs and stuff. And I said, hey, I want the Grant because I wanted to buy it because I watched it, I liked it, and you know, I wanted to use it for the show or whatever. And the lady's like, let me see. G-R-A-N-D? And I'm like, yeah, she types it in. Right? It's not in the system. Hang on. It's not here. Let's get. So she gets out this book.
Oh no!
It was the big book of DVDs. It was huge. I mean, it literally was like 9 inches thick. And she opens it up, and there's nothing about the Grand. She looks up under Ray Romano. She looks under Woody Harrelson. All these people were in the movie. Great cast. And there's nothing on the Grand. She's like, that movie's not released on DVD yet. I said, it has to be. It can't be on Showtime and not be on DVD.
Hmm.
She goes, well, go home and go on Amazon, and then you'll get your information.
go.
So I said, all right. So I go on Amazon, and sure enough, there it is. It's already been out. It's been out for like a year on DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stopped at Blockbuster on the way home, and Blockbuster had it, but they only had it to rent. I didn't want to rent it. I wanted to own it. So obviously, it's on DVD. I just can't find it used anywhere, and I didn't feel like paying the full, you know, $15 for some movie that, you know, you have. So I'm going to copy it from you or something.
Yeah, well, that's not fair to the producers of the Grand. For both of us to copy it off of Showtime.
Oh, well, all right. Then I'll just watch it, and I won't give it back to you.
But anyhow, what this great movie is, it's a what we call a mockumentary.
Mockumentary.
So it's kind of like a documentary, but it's all improv and somewhat scripted and funny. And it's a real big send-up of modern-day poker. And it ends up culminating with six players in a winner-take-all tournament called the Grand, where one of them wins $10 million.
And, you know, you mentioned that it was a lot of it was improv. Interesting fact, the original script was only 29 pages long.
Yeah.
And they said, we're just going to do a lot of improv. And then the final table itself was played out completely as if they were actual poker players playing it out. That was not, none of it was fixed. And they had storylines set up for every player that if they ended up winning the tournament, it would ultimately, they would say, make sure you end up with it, improving it this way or something, so this happens. But other than that, the whole movie, I mean, it was just like, most of it was improv, and it was hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious.
It's definitely worth renting or buying or ripping off of Showtime. All right, so you mentioned the cast and the characters, and it was an all-star cast. I mean, they had
incredible
people.
Cast.
So we can run down a couple of them, and the great thing about this story is you can see that the writer and the actors, they know poker well enough that they can kind of play into stereotypes with all the characters and some of the other stuff.
Yeah, so. Very specific characters too, you know, poker players, very specific being drawn upon in these portrayals.
Absolutely. The movie's kind of centered around One-Eyed Jack, played by Woody Harrelson. And I don't know, I kind of think he's got a kind of a little of a Stu Unger taste to him, I think. He's kind of this down and out player. He does drugs and
74 wives.
Yeah.
74 wives this guy has. And of course the Binion family is tied to him. The name of the casino is the Rabbit's Foot, and of course the Binions have the horseshoe lucky iconic things that they're basing it on.
And his grandfather comes back
and he's wearing got the big fur coat like Benny Binion, and clearly it's Benny Binion that he's modeling his character after. And that seems to be the theme throughout the whole thing. Like Harold.
Yep.
Harold, played by
Chris Parnell.
Chris Parnell, who is hilarious and easily the best character in the whole movie to me, I think.
You think so? Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he might be.
And he was just hilarious. And there's definitely Dan Legrano overtones with his character. Yeah.
He's kind of like this internet whiz kid, and then he's got his mom cooking.
Cooking for him.
And he's got all this stuff. And oh my god, that was pretty good too.
You know, one thing about Parnell too was. One of the funniest lines is he's playing against Daniel in the movie.
Right, that's right.
So it's kind of ironic. And then he says to Daniel, you should have moved in when your stack still meant something. It's just classic. You know, and I feel bad for Daniel. His mom is probably going to die soon, too, so I'm not going to have any fun at his expense. And I'm just saying, but the movie itself was hilarious.
Yeah.
Just hilarious.
Of course, I thought the best part was the best characters were Lainey and Larry.
Yeah, absolutely.
One, because Cheryl Hines is on my list of five that I'm allowed to leave my wife for. And so she was hilarious. And then Larry, of course, David Cross,
one of my favorite comedians
on the planet. Now, this is clearly ripped from the Howard Letterer, Andy Duke brother,
absolutely.
Sister, sibling rivalry.
Yep.
And Gabe Kaplan plays an awesome dad.
Seth Schwartzman.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he is so much in Laney. I love it. He's holding up signs that say, go Laney. Yeah. And Larry is sitting right next to her at the same table, and he just looks at him like with this sheepish look, you know, like, sorry. You know, oh, man, just a classic, classic family.
He has a kind of line like, you know, I think if you tell one child that the other one's a favorite, that he tries harder.
It's right. And, of course, Larry, David Cross, you know who he's modeled after. He screams at everybody at the table and belittles them. And, of course, the what puts it over the top is one of the lines he says is, if people played correctly, I would win every single hand ever. He says, I can psych the shit out of people. I don't even need cards to beat you. I can literally have no cards and still would beat you. That's hilarious.
And then, of course, they have an old-timer called Deuce.
Yeah, Deuce.
And he's got the little, you know, the rascal kind of like Doyle Brunson, but he's a lot meaner than I think Doyle Brunson. I'm trying to think of an old-time guy that's kind of, I guess maybe Slim's got a little
he's like
tongue.
He's like T.J. Cloutier, Slim. It's Dennis Farina, by the way, who plays a lot of gangster roles and things like that. So he played this role to a T. Great guy, great actor.
Had a great scene where he ran over a guy's foot in the Golden Nugget lobby with his rascal. I love
when he's on the street at the Strip at Vegas, and he points to the corner and he says, I stabbed a bum over there in 68, or whatever year he says, you know. Oh, man, it was hilarious.
The character I didn't like very much, but maybe you did, was called the German, kind of like the, you know,
no, I didn't like
the European eccentric kind of guy who apparently had to kill animals. And that was kind of where the story kind of got a little over the top for me.
And he apparently was like the producer of the movie or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That guy.
Great. So I'm picking on that producer.
Yeah,
now,
picking on the guy who actually made the movie.
The worst.
But you don't want to know what he does to the rabbit or the cat. What is it that he's... No, the rabbit, right? It's the rabbit. I liked Ray Romano in it. He was pretty good.
Yep.
And thinking that his fantasy football league was just as important as playing poker for $10 million that day.
And that's where you can see the realness in that is that, you know, for some of us that, you know, we kind of get psyched up into this fantasy football. People just don't have any idea what it means and why it's important. So there's a great riff between him and Cheryl Hines' wife on that. But then you see him in the draft and he's like, he drew the kicker in the third round? And I'm like, if anybody's playing fantasy football, that's instant funny.
And then he says something like, it pays something different than money.
Yes.
When asked about, you know, how if it's as important as her or playing and stuff. And then he tries to come up with these stupid handshakes throughout the movie. And then these stupid phrases is don't pee in your wetsuit, you know, which apparently is supposed to mean, you know, don't shit the bed or I don't know what he's saying, but it's pretty hilarious.
And then the last player in this final exam is named Andy.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like that, the internet lucky donk, the quintessential donk that just kind of locks his way into a tournament. There's a little twist that you'll like him about that, too. But he's funny one. But the absolute gold in this movie, character-wise, has to be Phil Gordon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When Phil Gordon dropped the F-bomb, I almost fell off the couch. He drops the F-bomb, and he's just hilarious, because really, he's really just being Phil Gordon, and he's actually saying what he wanted to say when he was hosting that damn celebrity poker show, and that's what makes it so funny, is you know that's what he wanted to say to Dave Foley, and that's what he wanted to say about the players, and he finally got to. My one gripe was that there was one hand where I don't know if he fell, if it was script, because there's only 29 pages of the damn script, but there's one hand where he says he has the absolute best hand, and it's like the ninth best hand that he could have, although, I mean, he could have said, I have the best hand between the two players, but that's not the way he said it. So other than that, I mean, really, he was awesome in this movie. Yeah. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, he played to announcer, it was great. And then they had a steady stream of cameos, a lot of pros. You know, we mentioned Daniel, Phil Locke, Doyle Brunson was in this.
Yeah, that's fun. Helmuth had a pretty good part.
Shannon Elizabeth had a scene that was pretty funny, but I kind of think they kind of wasted her in this.
Yeah, it was like one like line, really.
I think, you know, here's a great actress and a pretty good poker player, and they could have done more than make her a cocktail waitress.
Yeah.
But it was good to see her, too.
But it was funny, though. I mean, at least it was a funny line. It wasn't just like some walkthrough kind of thing. But, you know, there was some other stuff, too, that was pretty funny, like the Bust U crew.
Yes.
Which was basically playing off Dutch and Fishman's crew.
Hank Azaria was one of them.
Hank Azaria was great. Oh, my God. You know what else I liked, too, was Michael McKean.
Yes.
He was playing Steve Lavish, but he was basically being Steve Wynn, building this massive freaking place that has one room. And even the logo on his hat looks a lot like the Wynn logo. I mean, they just did this to perfection. They really parodied everybody properly.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the send-ups they did here, but the just the Vegas in general and the whole hotel projects with Panache and with everything stopping or stepping on the other one. And, you know, Michael McKean's just a big two-tower hotel and ask him how many rooms. two? No, one.
One. I knew you'd get it wrong.
Of course, they definitely had some fun at the expense of television poker.
Oh, yeah.
And how that's taken off. And my favorite part was it's some of the subtle stuff in this movie that you're watching other stuff you don't notice. But the television show was called the North American Indoor Poker League.
Oh my god! And I liked some of the internet names for some of the some of the sites and stuff. One of them was I think this was Larry's site, right? The guy Larry, that was David Cross. I can't believe I get to play poker.com 777.net. That was the name of that site. Oh my god!
Oh man! They also had to. A little send up of the sob story player.
Right? Oh yeah,
Which I my heart goes out to people that lost a mom or something, and ESPN pulling out the heartstrings during the
Well, this
really, guy. But yeah, so this guy's playing
used it as a tactic instead. It was hilarious, and of course David Cross was just so cold to the guy. Oh man, it was awesome.
Now Party Poker played a big role in this too, and I just think it's kind of I don't know when they actually started filming this, but.
Yeah, it was right
certainly before
out.
The the Bush administration got to cranky in the middle of the night, and it's probably unfortunate because Party Poker pulled out of our market right after that, so it was almost kind of a wasted plug that they paid for.
But this movie's going to live on in lore, like the Cincinnati Kid. So when Party Poker comes back, then they're going to reap the benefits of it, right?
And I also liked the fact that they kind of made fun to take a couple shots at poker books because we get poker books sent to us like every week. And, God willing, we'd love to be able an author and share our knowledge, but...
Mike Werby, the co-anchor. I pulled something from it, too. It was played by actor Mike Carnow, which I really don't know who he is, to be honest. But here was something from the movie that he says. Now, he's doing a commercial for the book, and he's trying to give, one of the edicts from the book, one of the axioms. And he says, every time you play a hand of poker, you want to run through a mental checklist. Head position, hand position, neck position, breathing posture, more than 25 items. It's a lot, but that's why I've come up with this handy mnemonic device. Just one word. HPHPNPBPECMSPAMDCPAFTSTTL. It's easy.
And that's what I love, because all the poker books tried to make poker easy. And here's the reality. Poker is not easy. You can't make it easy. It's a hard game. But it doesn't stop people from trying to come up with the easy things like this.
Absolutely classic. And there are a lot of extras, too, stuff that you might not have caught if you weren't paying attention.
A couple things I thought were funny. One, obviously, the rabbit's foot was the Plaza Hotel downtown.
And they used that for every freaking poker place.
In fact, in my younger days, I was flipping through Skinamax, and it was in one of the movies. That was the hotel for it.
Casino, I guess Casino had that. And all these places use that one.
My favorite little
famous underneath the lights. Everything. Yeah. Tilt, the TV show on ESPN, used it.
But
Colorado.
Early on, they kind of panned up because what it did is they superimposed the Rapid logo, Rapid logo on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they panned up and you could see the Plaza logo on the top. Oh, I loved it.
And of course, nothing would be more complete than knowing that they parodied Mike Faso in this movie.
Yep.
Of course, Larry taking his cards and whipping them. At the dealer, and then he takes the deck and just whips every single card at the dealer's face.
You are the worst dealer imaginable. I was rolling on the floor. I get, oh man, that's total lame.
Oh man. So obviously, we recommend this movie, and I think that everyone should just run out and go to a used place, find out you can't get it there, then go to Amazon and order it, or rent it from Blockbuster, or get Skinamax or whatever Scott called it. And I was shocked too that Zach Penn had directed this movie because he's like a super action comic book hero type of guy. He did like X-Men and Incredible Hulk and Inspector Gadget and all that stuff. So I was shocked that he pulled this off. I thought it was a success.
Yeah,
I really liked
it's
the movie.
A great movie, and it probably will not be in the lore of great movies. It's not going to bump Rounders or Cincinnati Kid.
Yeah, no.
But
no.
It's definitely very unique and will not be duplicated.
Backstage, the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs. Hi, this is Cindy Violet, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Lily had two queens. She was hoping for a third to match her pair.
Okay, another heads-up hand for you this week, Chris. It comes from Heath Stirk, all the way from Altoona, Iowa.
My absolute favorite.
your favorite what? Your
he favorite reminds me of
person,
my favorite,
your favorite city. Your favorite
reminds me of my favorite
state.
Sandwich, Altoona.
Oh, okay, so Altoona. All right. He says he recently switched to cash games on Poker Stars, and we thank you for that, Heath.
Very good.
And he's looking forward to his apes. He's playing a 10-cent, 25-cent no-limit table.
Oh, that's right in my roundhouse.
All right. So you should be good for this. But in for $15, most players have about the same, so.
Okay.
All right. He's in the big blind. Three players call. The small blind folds, and he looks down at ace of diamonds, queen of spades, big chick.
Oh, you want analysis now? I'm sorry.
I just read the hand.
What would we do
you're
here?
Going to pine.
Three limpers. You got it. You got to pop it. I would probably pop it 6x.
All right.
You want because you're going to be out of position with these limpers. You got a really good hand. If they're limping, they probably got like a small suited ace or small pairs or jack tens. You're going to want them to pay for it. So make it 6x. See what they do. So what? $1.50 raise?
Or you could limp and hit the second nuts.
Yeah. Or you could limp
from the tournament.
Yeah. Or you could limp and come queen ace and somebody will pocket aces and screw you like. If you want to play the Trapper Long MD style.
All right, he decides to pop it to $1, 4X.
Not
you don't
enough.
Think it's enough, right?
I don't think it's going to be enough in this pot.
Okay. All three players behind him call.
There you right. go. I'm not the $1.50 would have gotten him out because of that, but I think he might have gotten a couple more out.
All right, flop comes. Ace of spades, three of clubs, six of hearts, top, second, top.
Top, second, top. Okay, well, I mean, there's like $4 in a pot. So, I'd have to bet probably $2.50 here to $3.
All right. Our hero is happy with that rainbow flop and bets $3.
I agree with that.
Gets one caller.
One caller's good.
That kind of worked. Yeah, okay. We got shook two of them. All right. The turn is a six of diamonds. Pairs the board.
Okay. I hate that. I hate when it pairs like that. But the person might have a small ace and think, okay, well, now I got aces and sixes, and the next card will improve my kicker, so you could still have the best hand here. So I'm going to bet probably another $4.
Yeah, you can't slow down here, I don't think.
No.
All right, and he says that the player that has called him has been playing very loose and has shown bluffs down, so.
Yeah, I'd bet.
All right.
Like $4.
Our hero decides to test the water with a bet of $3.75.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
All right, excellent. Gets a caller. Flop. Oh, it's a flop.
Flop.
All right, Heath, I'm going to edit here on the fly. I'm guessing that's river.
The river.
Okay. You just scratch that out. Okay,
I'm glad
the river.
To know that you've read this ahead of time.
Well, I don't test every word.
That's true.
All right, the river is the four of hearts. I pause for you to say something with me.
I'm thinking.
Straight draw gets there, right?
Straight draw. If he had 4 or 5, raise, calling a raise of 4 or 5.
Deuce 5, too, yeah. A couple straight draws.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of is,
I can't imagine.
It has to be an ace rag, or if it's something way off, like the straight, like you said. It's the only thing I could think of that, if this guy calls our bet, whatever it is, or I don't know what we're going to make. At this point, you're probably going to have to shove, because you only had 15 to start, and you've already put...
Yeah,
like,
to be honest, the only thing I'm worried about here is maybe an ace-king, but it wasn't raised pre-flop, so I can't even worry about that. And
it feels like ace-rag.
Six, but, you know...
I mean, he could have had something like pocket threes, and wanted to see a flop for cheap, and then called the extra raise, and flopped a set, and was slow playing us in position. But really, it's... You know, I mean, I guess you could check here and see what he's willing to bet and then just call and check be happy call. To take it. So I would check call.
All right.
Depending on what he bets.
Our hero decides to tap him all in for $7. Very nice word.
Very good.
We'll look past the flop instead of the
river. And I can't fault the shove because if the guy has any other ace besides A6, you've got him beat. So I'm or ace king. So, I mean, and it doesn't seem like those are two hands that he'd have. So. I can't fault him for that, but I think I like the check call here because the guy might try to value bet if he has a better hand than us instead of shoving. So, But I can't fault that.
Okay. And his reasoning was that it would be tough for him to get away from this hand if he checked and his opponent bet, which is kind of what you're saying, but you know,
right.
Maybe the guy bet 350 instead of 7.
Yeah, exactly. You can get away from it.
All right. The villain uses 30 seconds time extension and calls, flips over, 7 of clubs, 5 of hearts.
Are you serious?
I am as serious as...
How do you call $3 on a gut shot like that? Was he drunk on Bush Light?
He could have been.
He had to have been drunk on Bush Light.
To do that before.
Oh, my God. 7-5. He can't even think that his 7 or his 5 is good if he hits it. How does he do that? Oh, my God.
And
then he calls again on the turn.
Yep.
Another 375. Guy calls like $7 plus the raise with 7-5 off. Yeah, it's just sad. You know, just know that if you play long enough with this guy, you're going to get all of his money. That's the only solace you can take from it. Or all of his Bush Light, whatever. You know, I'm so devastated, I can't even spin the wheel.
All right, I will I'll give it a weak, half-hearted spin here. All right, Heath, I don't know if it'll help you, but maybe you can give the set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from GreatPokerHands.com to your opponent to convince him not to play 7-5 off ever again.
Clearly, that 7-5 is not in there calling a raise on those cards. There's just no way.
And if you, too, want to send us a lovely hand of the week for us to dissect, please email to podcast@antiupmagazine.com and send us any other questions about the show also to podcast@magazine.com and visit antiupmagazine.com/forum.
You got most of that right.
Some of it.
I'll let you re-listen to it later and see what you got wrong. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
U.S. Representative Barney Frank on Wednesday introduced the Internet Gaming... Again, excuse me.
Start over, because I'm going to do the music, too, before this. Don't forget, the music's going to roll. Start over.
I just knew I was going to screw that. Who writes these things?
You, I think.
No, I mean, who writes the bill names?
You, I think.